ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो Chapter 24, titled The Renunciation of Kadama Muni, text number 40. Matra apitam vidyam,
Matra apitam vidyam,
Matra apitam vidyam,
Matra apitam vidyam.
Samanim sarvakarmanam
Samanim sarvakarmanam
Samanim sarvakarmanam
Samanim sarvakarmanam
Vitarisyeyaya sachau
Vitarisyeyaya sachau
Vitarisyeyaya sachau
Vitarisyeyaya
sachau Vayam cha vitarisyati
Vayam cha vitarisyati
Vayam chati karisyati Matra apatmikim vidyam
Matra
apatmikim vidyam
Matra apatmikim vidyam
Samanim sarvakarmanam
Samanim sarvakarmanam
Samanim sarvakarmanam
Samanim sarvakarmanam
Vitarisyeyaya sachau
Vitarisyeyaya
sachau
Vitarisyeyaya sachau
Vayam cha vitarisyati
Vayam cha vitarisyati
Vayam cha vitarisyati
Vayam cha vitarisyati
Matru
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 Avyatmikim
Avyatmikim
Which opens the door of spiritual life.
Which opens the door of spiritual life.
Vidyam.
Vidyam.
Knowledge. Samanim.
Samanim.
Ending.
Ending.
Sarva karma.
Sarva karma.
All fruitful activities.
All fruitful activities.
Vitarisi.
Vitarisi.
I shall give.
I shall give.
Yaya.
Yaya.
By which.
By which.
Cha.
Chaya.
Also.
Also.
Asa.
Asa.
She.
She.
Mayam.
Mayam.
Fear.
Fear.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
After this yet.
Will
overcome.
Will overcome.
Translation by the name of I shall also describe this sublime knowledge which is the door to spiritual life, to my mother, so that she can also attain perfection and self-realization, ending all reactions to fruitful activities. Thus, she also will be free from all material fear. So we repeat the translation. I shall also describe this sublime knowledge.
I shall also describe this sublime knowledge,
which is the door to spiritual life.
Which is the door to spiritual life.
To my mother.
To my mother.
So that. She can also attain perfection.
She can also attain perfection.
And self-realization.
And self-realization.
Ending all reactions to fruitful activities.
Ending all reactions to fruitful activities.
Thus, she also will be free.
She also will be free
from all material fear.
From all material fear.
For two paragraphs of purport, again by the Divine Vaishila Prabhupada. So we read the purport. It's echoing when I speak at this time. It's echoing, you know. So I don't know, that's why I'm keeping it a bit far away from you. You may get two voices from both your ears, you know, when you speak. See, probably. Okay. Kartama Muni was anxious about his good wife. Is it okay, Mataji? Kartama Muni was anxious about his good wife, Devahuti, while leaving home. And so, the worthy son promised that not only would Kartama Muni be free from the material entanglement, but Devahuti would also be free by receiving the instruction from her son. A very good example is set here. The husband goes away, taking sannyasi order for self-realization, but his representative, the son, who is equally educated, remains at home to deliver the mother. A sannyasi is not supposed to take his wife with him. At the vanaprastha stage of retired life, or the stage midway between the householder life and renounced life, one may keep his wife as an assistant without sex relations, but in the sannyasi order of life, one cannot keep his wife with him. Otherwise, a person like Kardama Muni could have kept his wife with him and there would have been no hindrance to his prosecution of self-realization. Kardama Muni follows the Vedic injunction that no one in sannyasi life can have any kind of relationship with the woman. But what is the position of a woman who is left behind by a husband? She is entrusted to the son, and the son promises that he will deliver his mother from entanglement. A woman is not supposed to take sannyasa. So-called spiritual societies concocted in modern times give sannyasa even to women, although there is no sanction in the Vedic literature for a woman accepting sannyasa. Otherwise, if it were sanctioned, Kardama Muni would have taken his wife and given her sannyasa. The woman must remain at home. She has only three stages of life: dependency on the father in the childhood, dependency on the husband in youth, and in old age, dependency on the grown-up son, such as Kapila. In old age, the process of women depends on the grown-up son. The ideal son, Kapila Muni, is assuring his father of the deliverance of his mother so that his father may go peacefully without anxiety for his good wife.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva
Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna.
So here, this purport, it talks of an ideal son, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila Dev himself, has come as a son for Devahuti, right? Kartama Muni and Devahuti, exalted personality. And the son is giving advice to his mother, because as Srila Prabhupada says that a mother, a lady, a woman can't leave home. She has to stay at home, but she cannot take sannyas. But whereas a man can leave home and take sannyas. So how can a woman take self-realization? So this explains how Kapila Muni is giving instruction to his mother, Devahuti. Kartama Muni and Devahuti has got an ideal son, right? Supreme Lord himself. Now, in the scriptures, in Padma Purana, it talks about five kinds of children a parent can get. The first child, or the first son, these days, in Kali Yuga, fathers son or daughter, doesn't matter, putra, putri, you know, as long as they are Krishna conscious, it serves a purpose, right? We don't make any differentiation, man, woman, because our institution is based on soul, right? You don't take too much credit for body, actually. Someone is a Vaishnava, Vaishnavi, then that's good. So the first type of son described is that he is a debtor, right? We have taken debts from the previous birth, and that son will come to us to take the debts. That's the first type. Say someone, a friend from the last birth, you know, I wanted to, at the age of 65, I want to build a house. I've taken 1 million from any bankers here. Anyone working with the bank? No. From the West Bank Bank, 1 million. And I know my friend, he somehow sanctioned me. And immediately I die. And that fellow, you know, he's a security. He would have given the security. And then, what will he do? So in order for to collect 1 million plus interest, he will be born in a son, as a son. And he will. Vedas are saying that, the first time. Second type is that we have done some reaction to someone else, right? In order for that person, and we die. So how can the, this is law of karma. The entire world, or the entire universe, or the material universe, works on two laws. The law of karma and the law of reincarnation, according to Krishna. So the law of karma has to work. If I've given bad reaction to someone else, how is he going to repay that, right? So next birth, he comes as a son and troubles us. A son or a daughter, doesn't matter, is it? The third one, he describes as an enemy. Our enemy will come and trouble us, right? We have to be careful how, who, which type our children belong to. I was thinking that I was like the, probably the second type of thing. Troubling the parents and constantly. I want this, I want, as young, I want this toy, I want this toy, you know. My father will say, oh, you are, you know, you are big, you know. I don't know if I've taken, my father will say that. I don't know if I've taken loan from you. You want everything on earth. Yes, take it. So probably second. First and combination, first and second. Then, the fourth type is talking about neutral. A person, a son is neutral. He's not good, he's not bad. Do my job, just you are a parent, serve me like that. It doesn't give much trouble, but neutral type. Right? The fifth one is very important. That's known as Suputra, auspicious child. Now this person is pious in his behavior and character, and he is the one who's going to deliver to the parents. Very, very rare. Now we see that, you know, in the case of, even though it's a supreme law, Kapila Muni is there, but he belongs to the fifth category. Right? So he's liberating his mother, Devahuti. Right? So we should aspire child, you know, of the fifth category. But because all our devotees here, I think we all, you know, are transformed to the fifth category, even though we may be the first, second, third, or fourth, you know. So Suputra, auspicious, right? A child delivering the parents. Very, very important. Otherwise, what is the use of the other four categories, right? What for? Karma, you know, come back and suffer, you know. You take money, you eat me, I eat me. What for? Okay. So let's say then here, right, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni, right, he is giving spiritual instruction in the form of Sankhya Yoga philosophy to Mother Devahuti. And Devahuti, in the form of actually, you can see in the previous next chapters, chapter 25, 26, 27, talking about the fundamental principles of material nature, how to get out of the material nature. And he is also talking about the word of the Lord. How to get out, right, of the material existence. And then Devahuti sincerely followed the instruction, and at the end of the lifetime, she went back to Godhead, and the place she went was Kapila Vaikuntha. Each of the gods has got the Vaikuntha family. Our Lord, as also about the highest one, this is Goloka Vrindavan. So people who are devotees of Krishna, you know, they can return to Goloka, you know, provided, you know, you follow the criteria properly and then satisfy, follow the orders of Guru and Krishna, right? You can return back to Goloka Vrindavan. Now in this case, because the son was Kapila and mother was transferred to Kapila Vaikuntha. Here, the son is giving instruction to the mother. A similar kind of instruction also is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the story of Dhruva Maharaj. All of you know the story of Dhruva Maharaj? We are not going into that story. But Dhruva Maharaj is a very exalted and pure devotee of the Lord. Now, there is a slight difference between this story and Dhruva Maharaj's story. In this story, the son is giving instruction to the mother, and both the son and the mother, obviously the son is Supreme Lord, for discussion sake, the son and the mother both went back to Vaikuntha. In the case of Dhruva Maharaj, the mother is giving instruction to the son. Because the mother is giving instruction to the son, both the son and the mother both went back also. See, this is the power of devotion service. Right? Whoever gives instruction, father, mother, father, son, daughter, doesn't matter. You know? Spiritual instruction is important. Because Dhruva Maharaj, right, at the time when he was denied to sit on the lap of his father, right, he was very much mentally disturbed. You know, I can't even sit on the lap of my father. It was prevented by my stepmother. No, he went to his mother. You know, feeling very sorrow. What did they do? The mother said, I can't help it, you know. You have to get the, you know, blessings, a direction from the Lord, God, Bhagavan. He said, where is Bhagavan? He said, people say that Bhagavan is in the forest. You may have to go there and try. Determine. How determined is Dhruva Maharaj? And then later, the story goes on, and Dhruva Maharaj had a darshan of the Lord. Okay. Dhruva Maharaj is very, very special because in 5 months, he had a darshan of the Lord. Just 5 months. Very, very exalted. Very difficult, you know, devotion service. He did such great austerity that he had a darshan of the Lord in 5 months. So if you're very serious, like Dhruva Maharaj, in 5 months, September, October, November, December, January. In February, you can see the Lord. But are we able to do that? It's a good deal, isn't it? 5 months and a half. But he did not pass through. He was like our Aigrivan. How old is Aigrivan? 5 years. If you want, you can see Krishna in 5 months. By February, you can have a darshan and you can. Face to face and talk. Of course, Lord is there also. But with our babies, the Lord is able to hear all of us. We cannot hear the Lord. See? Lord is hearing also. But He hears. But we cannot hear Him. But if you see Lord face to face, He can hear and He can talk to you. Exalted devotees can talk to the deity. That's a different stage. But our stage is, you know, only one way. At this stage. So, what are you saying? So, Dhruva Maharaj, he had a darshan, right? So, 5 months he saw Lord Vishnu. And then he ruled. Dhruva Maharaj, you know, said, after seeing the Lord, he said, I've asked for a kingdom bigger than my father's, the grandfather's kingdom. But after seeing you, after getting the jewel of your association, I don't want broken pieces of glasses. This is association of the Lord. After getting your exalted association, the association which I see in the material world is like broken pieces of glasses. I don't want it. Anyway, the Lord blessed him with a conch. And Dhruva Maharaj is completely off the illusory energy. Illusory energy cannot touch him. And then Dhruva Maharaj ruled for 33,000 years. Because in Satya Yuga, the lifespan is 100,000 years. In Treta Yuga, 10,000 years. In Dwapara Yuga, 1,000 years, and in Kali Yuga, only 100 years. Right? Now, after this was over, Dhruva Maharaj, the story goes on, and then at the end of the lifetime, when the spiritual aeroplane came to take Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj got into the plane. At the time the death personification came, Dhruva Maharaj stamped on the death personification, because he went to the same old body. He stamped on the death and got into the Vaikuntha plane and was sitting. At the time, I remember, everything in life had happened because of my mother. Now, what will happen to my mother? Where is my mother? So, the Vaikuntha men, Nanda and Samantha, they understood Dhruva Maharaj's move, and they said, look, there is another flight. Your mother is taking it. So Dhruva Maharaj saw and was happy, oh, my mother is also coming with me. So if you want, all of us can go back to Vaikuntha with the whole family. That's what it is showing. It is not an individual event. The entire family can go back, provided, you know, one is Krishna conscious. So this opportunity is given. Everyone is entitled to go back to God. It is not that only one person. Krishna has given the opportunity. And to stop this miserable life of life. Here it says the fact, I shall describe the sublime knowledge which is a door to spiritual life. So this spiritual knowledge, which is giving to Devahuti, is very, very important knowledge. Right? Without which one cannot, you know, one will not know the difference between body and soul. Very, very important, this sense of the spiritual knowledge. The spiritual knowledge is the one that differentiates us from animals. Right? Otherwise, humans and animals, right? They have the same propensity, they do the same thing. Right? Eating, sleeping, mating differently. Humans and animals, both are doing the same thing. It's that knowledge factor, right, which differentiates them. Right? The knowledge that we are not just body but spirit soul. Right? Now, all of us, we are assembled here, isn't it? And we are trying to understand what is spiritual knowledge, the difference between body and soul. Right? So once, if someone is coming, they will take up. And then they will know that it's working on them and they take up. But in the case of animals, right, can I convince a dog that you're not a dog? Can I convince a fish, I'm not a fish, or a bird, oh, you're not a bird? Can I do that? It's impossible. How can I? But if we tell that we are not the body, see, the Veda says that you're not the body. Krishna is saying you're not the body. Why? Because the body is constantly changing. Once upon a time I was 10 years old. Now I became 20, then 30, 40, 50. Body is constantly changing. The 6 changes of the body. Body is born, grows, stays for some time, produces byproduct, dwindles, vanishes, body is gone. We are the living person in the body. I am a living person in this body. I was existing before this body was created. Through my father and mother, I was living in the previous body. Now I got this body. I am living in this body. After some time, whenever Yamaraj calls me, I have to die. Still I will be living after death. Who can give you this knowledge? Who can give you this knowledge other than Krishna? Here it says that thus she will be also freed from all material fear. Fear is one of the big component of this material world. Right? So once you know that, I will know, I will be living after death. What kind? How one can be? One will be become fearless. Isn't it? I was living before, I'm living now, I'll also live after death. Which university is teaching this? Spiritual knowledge. But why we cannot come to the platform is because of the conditioning of the mind. Right? All of us have got this body based on our previous karma. The body we got, the mind is also conditioned. Krishna explains, it can be one of the conditions, goodness, passion or ignorance. Goodness means knowledge that you are not this body, soul, and they will be away from the material world, and hence they are happy all the time. Passion is up and down, 1 minute very happy, 1 minute very sad, up and down, full of desires, I want this, I want this. So how can you get happiness? Krishna explains. If the mind is full of desires, there won't be peace. If there is no peace, there is no happiness. So how can a person in the mode of passion be happy? Constantly, you desire is there. Constantly, I want this. Material desires. How can you satisfy? And ignorance is opposite to mode of goodness. Krishna rejects both these modes, passion and ignorance. He said, one should be on the mode of goodness, then Krishna consciousness is very easy. Now, because you're talking about the modes, okay, I just remember one story. A good story. The story is very illustrative. You also remember. Once there was a farmer. Maybe Mataji might be known. She knows most of the story. Once there was a farmer. He was having the cows and bulls, okay? Now, what is a regular job? Our job is to go to the office, right? 8:30 to 7:30 or 9:30, depending upon the money you get. Someone gets small amount, they'll come back home for you. Someone is on a 150k package, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, wife has to call, are you coming home? Money. So this farmer is very happy, right? So what he does, he goes, he grazes, raises the, the cows and all that in the nearby farm, and then he takes his afternoon nice sleep, takes his lunch, Rajbhog, and then you take Rajbhog, our Rajbhog, Krishna is taking, four kinds of sabjis and chapatis and rice. Obviously one will feel, very tired and sleepy. No, after the lunch he sleeps for some time. And then he wakes up and takes back the cows and the bull back to the place. This is his occupation. Very happy job, but no money. So one day, when he was coming, when he was going to tie, he realized that one of the bull did not have a neck bead. He did not have a rope. So he was thinking, how can I'm going to take, I've taken my lunch, I'm going to sleep now, but this bull does not have a rope. So if I sleep, then the bull will go away, and then I lose, the bull. So what should I do? I want a rope. Someone has fallen somewhere else. I want a rope. So what should I do? I can go to the near neighborhood and get a rope quickly, and then tie it so that I can have a good rest. So he went to the nearby place there, he could see a hut there. And there when he went, he saw a sage, Swamiji. Then he said, Swamiji, can I have a rope? He said, I don't want all this, that is why I become a Swamiji. Don't trouble me with the ropes or, any material things. That is why I am doing that. I am very peaceful. He said, no, I am in great anxiety. I want a rope, please help me out. He said, I have got knowledge. I can give you knowledge through that, you can do wonders. But I cannot give you a rope. And this person is a humble person. These days, what will you do? If in anywhere, you know, if you say you have got knowledge, they'll say, I know better than you. You got money? How many hours? How many dollars you give me per hour? I will work. But knowledge, I have studied masters in science, PhD, I got knowledge. So as long as someone is very, very, very proud, they cannot progress in spirituality. One has to be humble, right? The humility means getting knowledge. Through humble, the humility you get spiritual knowledge. When you're puffed up, the material knowledge covers you up. Gone, the lost. So to receive spiritual knowledge, one has to be humble. That's the first qualification. So this farmer was humble. So he said, okay, no worries, now you're humble, I'll tell you. So that's the first qualification. Humility, the spiritual life. So he said, see, this is a problem, what should I do? He said, now, I can solve your problem, right? Your bull does not know that it does not have a rope, but you know. So what you do, you go there, right, and pretend as if you're tying. It'll be okay, do it like that. Then he said, what is this Swamiji saying? I cannot understand. Okay, anyway, he tells something that we do. So he went back, he tied, you know, all the bull with the rope. But this particular bull, right, he pretended, you know, like that. So the bull listened. Okay? Then he did like as usual, you know, pretending it's fine. So the bull understood. Sit down, sit down, sit down. Okay, it is good. Then he had a good sleep. And then when he woke up, he forgot about it, right? Then he took all the bull, basically time, physical time of other bulls. So he removed all that, the other bull came. This one, he said, it's not coming. He was thinking, what's wrong with this bull? I did not tie it. He went back to Swamiji. What magic did he put? The bull is not coming. Please, remove that magic, you know. Then I want my bull back. He said, that's not a magic. Because you are mentally tied it. Right? The bull knows that you are tied it. You have to untie it also mentally. Okay. Anyway, still he did not understand. Because he's a poor farmer. He went back. And again he said, like this. And then the bull understood. And it's coming. Actually, there's no tie. It's not tied. But it's conditioned. Every day is doing the same process. And because of the process, the bull thinks that I'm tied, I'm untied. He doesn't know. Right? Are we any better to this bull? Yes? No? No. We are better than the bull, right? We are in the same condition actually. Every day, who's stopping you not to become Krishna conscious? Anyone stopping you? No. Conditioning. The mind goes like, anyone is stopping you to become a pure devotee and see Lord in 5 months? No. Conditioning. One has to get over the conditioning. It's very, very important. So this is why not only the body, he got the body based on the previous karma. In the same way, he got the mind also based on previous karma. Condition. So act like that. If you are attached to the family, condition like that. Mind is conditioned with it. It will go. If someone is after money, dollars, condition. He will go after dollars. If someone is conditioned, I want to become a devotee of the Lord. Condition. I will not leave Krishna's lotus feet. This is a promise you make with the Guru. Right? And you're experiencing gravitation. Material activities, right? Soon you become tired of the activity. You can really. Children, they play computer games, right? When my son was also before. I tell him, okay, one day from morning 4, Mangalarati till night, you are constantly playing. Do not come out of the room. He said, no, I can't do that. Then one becomes tired. Chanting. I've been doing for a few years. I did not get tired of chanting. On the contrary, it increases. New rasa Because you're reciprocating with the person, Lord, Supreme Lord. Whereas material energy, you're reciprocating with matter. That's the difference between reciprocating with matter and reciprocating with the person, right? How much can I reciprocate with this wood? I can change like this, I can do like this. Soon I'll become tired. But I can talk to Krishna Balaram, the Divine Brothers. Keep on talking, Krishna Katha. I won't be tired, you know. So this is the power of Krishna consciousness, where you're dealing with the Supreme Lord constantly, and Krishna is reciprocating in the heart. How is he reciprocating? He gives remembrance and intelligence to the devotees. He gets forgetfulness to the non-devotees who does not like him. You don't want me, I won't give you remembrance. You like me, I'll give you remembrance and bonus intelligence. This is how it is.
Then through this purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about
sannyasa. And this chapter itself
is known as renunciation of Kardam.
Renunciation. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains about renunciation or sannyasa. Right? He gives two points, two methods. The first one is contemplative or inactive method. Where there is no action. Inactive. You renounce. You renounce a word without any action. This was followed in ancient times. Advaita now. You renounce, but there is no action. So what will happen? They are not doing devotion service, which is very, very pleasurable to the Lord. And pleasurable to us. They don't do that. And because of that, they can reach only Brahmajyoti. They're not reciprocating to the Lord. See, the hand is there, right? The hand is part of the body. Right? The natural duty, the natural service of my hand is to serve my body. If I use my hand to serve my body, which is part of my body, my hand is nourished. My body is nourished. And happiness for both. But if the hand wants to be independent, cut it and put it. How long can the hand suffer? Not long. So we, Lord explains, as a fragmental part, small part of the Lord. Satchitananda Vigraha, Lord. Lord, small part. We are divine in nature. We are also eternal. We will not die. We are also knowledgeable, Satchit. And we are also Ananda. We are only happiness. We are part, because we are part of love, we are happiness. But we are seeking happiness outside of us. That is where the problem starts, Maya. When the Lord itself has given a component of us, we are component actually. We are seeking not happiness from within, by going through the source, right? We are seeing happiness outside of us. That is where Maya binds and gives from the miseries. Material consciousness is a cause of condition, like where conditions such as birth, death, old age is applied to the living entity because of this attraction to the materialness. If a living entity is attached to the spiritual energy, there is no suffering. Suffering is because of the living entity's attachment to the materialness. Renunciation. Okay. So there are two forms, right? Renunciation. One is the inactive side, which is no action, which is renouncing the word. Right? Jnana Yogi, they do that. And the second one is Krishna is saying about active karma. The first one is, you can say, the negative approach. Right? The second one is a positive the positive Krishna conscious action. So you renounce the world by acting for Krishna. Because Krishna is completely spiritual. Right? You renounce the world by acting for Krishna. You are doing activity which will satisfy your senses. And you know, you don't know that you are renouncing the world. Naturally, if you are attracted to Krishna, naturally you are renouncing. So this is a recommended process by the Lord Himself. He says that of the two, the first one is difficult and not effective. He says it's not even practical. Second one, Lord is saying very easy, because the senses are engaged. You are happy and you are pleasing the Lord, and hence the destination is sure. Second process better, positive engagement. Now Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, He approves both this sannyasa or renunciation. The first one is renunciation of action. The second one is renunciation in action. Action is important. First one, they don't do anything, I work. The second one, we act. Renunciation in action. Renouncing, but we are renouncing the material action, but we are doing positive Krishna consciousness. In that way, we will be pleased. Okay? Now, very important point, Krishna is saying, for both these sannyasa, mind control is very, very important. Krishna is saying, mind control is very, very important. You cannot take both these if the mind is not controlled.
How do you know that? Because in the 6th chapter, 6.2, the Lord is saying that, it's a good verse, I'm reading this translation.
What is called renunciation? Here it's a renunciation of Kardama Muni, right? So the Lord is saying, what is called renunciation, you should know to be the same as yoga. Yoga means controlling the mind, or linking oneself with the Supreme, O son of Pandu, for one can never become a yogi unless he renounces the desire for sense gratification. Unless you renounce the desire for sense gratification, you are not a yogi. You cannot perform yoga. If you cannot perform yoga, then you cannot become a yogi. This is the bottom line. Krishna is explaining that. So the desire for sense gratification should be let out. And why it is harm? Why the desire for sense gratification, Krishna is saying? Because we have got a mind, right? The mind's food is pleasure. The body's food is prashada. Right? Mind's food is pleasure. That's how the Lord created. See? Lord is very tricky, intelligent also. He has kept the soul inside the body, which is a component of the Lord, which will derive happiness only by doing Krishna's service. But outer covering is matter. In that matter, the subtle gross body is okay, it's easy to control, relatively. Right? If I don't want to see someone, close my eyes. But if I say, I don't want to think of Krishna and Balaram, it's impossible. Mind will say, think of it. This is how the mind works, right? Very difficult to control the mind. So the Lord has kept the mind. So you control the mind, do some work and come to me. You can't just get me like that, you know. Do some work, guys. Take up this process of Krishna consciousness. Work on it. Do it. Control your mind. By the mind, right? Not your head. Control. Work. Work for me. Do it. And then you find get ultimate happiness. It is not that I'm just going to trick you. It's not Maya. Maya will say, come, 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 and then slap you. This is how Maya works. You know? Krishna is not like that. He's a person, right? So he'll say, follow my procedures, and you'll come to me. But mind is a difficult part. So the mind's food, Lord has kept pleasure. That pleasure is material pleasure, matter. Why do you want pleasure from matter? It could be in the form of thing, place, or body. This is all matter. One sees pleasure from matter. It could be a form of a place, because I like Switzerland. Very nice place. What is it different to Melbourne? In Switzerland, you get trees out of gold. These people eating in their ears, Switzerland? Correct, no? They're not doing something different. Same thing. So, you have to be quite careful, right, what you want. So, Krishna conscious is the only way. So, this is the, okay. So, as you know, finally concluding, this is the mission of Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni, even before he could get married to Devahuti, he said that, fine, I will get married. He told to his Devahuti's, to his father-in-law, Devahuti's father, Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, he said that, okay, I will get married to your daughter. That's not a problem. But after some time, I will take renunciation. I have to go. Okay, is that okay? The father-in-law said, okay. That's fine. After you know, the children grow up, you can go. But these days, if you tell your father-in-law this, you will not be married. Isn't it? Not like this. I didn't tell my father-in-law. They will say, okay, no, we will find someone. You go. So, he has already told, and then later on he kept up his word. That's a mission. And one may ask the question, then why did Kardama Muni want to marry? If he is such, you know, if he is a sannyasi, he wants to go to sannyasi. Right? That's a natural question. Why do you then say, why do you spoil the life of a lady? You know, husband and wife, you know, they should be together till death. Why do you be? Right? Not fair. Right? Now, Kardama Muni has been ordered, he's not an ordinary person, he was living in Satya Yuga, okay? He has been ordered by his father, Brahma. Brahma was his father. Ordered by Brahma to increase a progeny. Brahma is saying, my son, I created you for this purpose, right? You are so elevated, I know. He said, no, I don't want to, you know, be getting involved. I don't want to be involved. He said, no, this is my order, you have to get married. Right? You have to increase a progeny. But how? What kind of progeny? Suputra. We discussed that, right? For a child which is going to liberate the parents, not the child who is going to drag into the hellish planets. So, he already promised that he is taking, and then he left also, as promised. He kept up his word. That was one of the reasons. That Kardama Muni, he thought that because he has to follow the orders of his father. He cannot say no. Because that was a time, you know, Vedic times. He will follow exactly, you know, the orders, you know, because father orders like Veda. Because Brahma is the creator of the Veda. The Lord has given Vedas to him. He's in charge of the Vedas. If Brahma says that's Veda. So if the father says Brahma, he cannot say no. So he followed it, so he got married. And actually, the thing, beauty is, the marriage was organized by Krishna. Krishna said, Vishnu said, okay, I've organized a marriage with Devahuti. Devahuti is nothing that, is none other than the prince. She is a daughter of an emperor, Swayambhuva Manu. She is like emperor's daughter, and I've organized for you. This is advantage of being a devotee, right? If you are a devotee, and if you want any material favor, become a devotee, ask the Lord. He will give it to the fullest extent. If he decides something, oh, I like this person, I want to get married. May or may not, we don't know. May not, we don't know. Mostly may not. Kali Yuga. But if you seek the blessings of the Lord and Guru and Krishna, you can be successful. Happy. No problem. So that is why it's very, very important that he followed it, and then later on, as promised, right, he has got an elder son. And his son is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila Muni. So he was happily left, and this is the last sentence he spoke. You know? And Kapila Muni said, okay, you can leave. Now you can go in peace. We will take care of I'll take care of the mother. Not only I'll take care, I will also take her to Vaikuntha. This is the goal of human life. The goal of human life is to go back to consciousness. Not to come back again and rotate here. You know? You may be human. Next birth when we come back in Kaliyuga, only dog, cat and dog only. Human life is very rare. You have to go through 8.4 million species to get this human form. It's not a small thing, right? You did not get a human form of a just like that. You have to do a lot of austerities, right? And you have to go through the cycle. 8.4 million species, and finally you got the human form. And in human form you come to Australia and you build a beautiful house for 1 million, finish. Next birth the dog will move. Because you have not done anything constructive for Krishna. Only when a person do Krishna consciousness, a constructive work for Krishna, one can go back to Godhead. If you don't do any constructive work at work, your office, they'll kick you out, right? This is a job we are doing for Krishna. If you don't do constructive job, you can't dream. This is not a mental platform, Krishna consciousness. You have to get the knowledge, you have to act on it. Get the knowledge, act on it. Very important. Okay, finally to conclude, one more story. Anyone tired of stories? Now, when we talk about Brahma and Ramakar, my knowledge is also decreasing now. I'm becoming old, so I can't remember. So whatever I remember, I'm saying. Now, we talked about Brahma, because Kardama Muni's father is Lord Brahma. You're listening? Stories, right? You're listening, right? Okay? Yeah? Good. Lot of children are there, that's good. You're listening, right? Good. Lord Brahma, he is the first living entity created by the Supreme Lord Himself. He came from the abdomen of the Lord. Okay? Now, Brahma, to some degree, was also created in ignorance. Okay? We're going to talk about it. Now, how can we expect, right, to be very intelligent when we born? Brahma, the first Lord, the first living entity, right? He's like an engineer, you know, built, he's planned to, he was created to build this universe, okay? When Brahma was born, he was in ignorance. He did not know what to do. Then he has to meditate on the Lord for 1,000 celestial years. Okay? He meditated on the Lord. Then the Lord gave him intelligence to build it. Just like an engineer, right? There any engineer there? Any civil engineers? Any engineers there? No. What does a civil engineer do? He has got a cement. He has got stone. He has got steel, you know? He builds a house. He's already got the intelligence from his university, right? He studied the engineering. All the ingredients are given to him. Then he is asked to build a house or a mansion, whatever it may be. In the same way, this material is a creation. So Brahma has to create this world. So Lord gave him the intelligence to create. Okay? This is the intelligence. Lord said, earth, water, fire, and ether, mind, intelligence, possible. These are the 8 material elements I have given it to you, to Brahma. And you create, okay, this world. Including human beings, animals and all that. So we are created. We are created for a purpose. Body is created. It's not the soul. The soul is eternal. The body is created and it will die also. After Brahma got his knowledge, Brahma requested the Lord, oh Lord, I am your servant, okay? Now, you have given me this job of creation, or material work. Like all of us, right? All of us are doing the material work, right? Now, when we are doing a material work, there's a good possibility that we get engaged or we get entangled in the material work. It's a good possibility. Unless you are very elevated devotee, you know, and all that, like Mahavir. Bhakta Mataji noted. She can be mental energy, unaffected. She can be in water, not even wet. But we are not in that. They are aspiring. They are coming at devotees. Okay? Very high stage. Not affected mental energy. But still they can be mental energy. Free of coming. So that he requested, Lord, you have given me a material job, even though I want to do something else, but what to do? No, Krishna said, I created for you a material job. You are a big engineer. You are a universal engineer. You do the building for me, okay? Construct the world for me. Then Lord said, and then he said, Lord, I know I will accept your proposal because you created me for the purpose. I'll do that. But because I'm creating the world, which is the mode of passion, I may get entangled in my job. See, all of us know this point, right? If you want to become Krishna conscious, Brahma is a question. If you are bigger than Brahma, please do not follow this. Because you are bigger than Brahma, don't follow. But if you think that you are subordinate to Lord Brahma, then please follow this instruction. The Lord is giving, okay? It is up to you. The false ego is a problem, right? If you are bigger than Brahma, don't follow. If the false ego says, no, I am a servant of the Lord, inferior to Brahma, then you follow this order. Then the Lord says, so what should I do, Lord? Please help me out. Give me some instruction. Because Brahma is saying, I am also a Rajastha. I am not a sannyasi. And first of all, I am a Rajastha. And you have given me some material job. Oh Lord, I have finished. And more creation, mode of passion. It's not mode of goodness. See, we are doing transcendental. We are in the transcendental mode. See, any service for the Lord is transcendental. So one is feeling very happy. But when you do job in the mode of passion, you know, at work, no? Why did you do that? Mode of passion, always. You did that. I'll complain to the manager. What do you think? I fight you. What do you think of me? That's how it goes on. The mode of passion. You don't know about me? I sack 10 people. You have 11 people. You give all statistics. You'll be worried, oh, what should I do? Okay? So Brahma said, I'm a Gragastha as such. And then you're giving me material job in the mode of passion. Oh Lord, without your advice, without your instruction, I'm finished. Please. Oh Vasudeva, please give me instruction. Then the Lord can give the mercy or cannot give the mercy. It's up to the Lord. You cannot command the Lord. Then the Lord looked at Brahma. You are humble. I will give you the instructions. If someone is very, very proud, and then you can see, you know, you will never get any mercy from Krishna, nor any instruction. And if the instruction comes also, you will not listen. So one who is very humble, then he is favored by the Lord. Then he saw Brahma really requesting the Lord, please, Lord, help me out. Well, if I don't want any help, then you can go to mental energy. But he is requesting the Lord, please help me out. So the Lord is saying, okay, Brahma, I am very happy, I am pleased with you because of your humility. Now I am going to give you three directions, three instructions to you. Please keep it very, very carefully, understand it and put it in practice. Then you will be okay. Maya will not touch you. Alright? This is after he prays, you know, the third canto, after Brahma creates, prays for the creative energy to create the universe. The Lord says, Brahma, the first thing is, whatever you do, you should follow Vedic injunction. You should do anything in line with Vedas. Do not act independently. Your mind has a tendency to act independently. Mind will say, do that, go and see this movie, watch this one. Do not act. You should always act on spiritual energy, which means you should follow Vedas. Vedic injunction. Guru, Sahadu, Shastra for us. For Brahma, Vedas. For us, Guru, Sahadu, Shastra. Anything, if a guru is saying, Shastra is saying, holy man is saying, you follow. If someone is not saying, please do not follow. Your mind will say, no, I want to do something, please do not follow. Alright? Mind will say so many things. One. Second, he says, first follow the rule. Then he says, Brahma, you should always abide by rules and regulations for material life as well as a spiritual life. See, the Supreme Lord is saying this. What beautiful instruction, right? I created laws for the material universe as well as spiritual. Even the material life, right? There are rules. Isn't it, Madhu? You can't just drive a car like that. There is a traffic rule, right?
Forget about spirituality. If you go in the corner, right, so many cars are coming up and down. Imagine the traffic light is not working. What will happen? All will end up in Alfred Hospital. There will be a lot of nurses required. Full-time job for all the nurses. Right? So, chaos. Chaos will be there. So that's a traffic light. Police is there, regulating. Law and order. Order. So the material world also, that rules, which are kept appropriate persons, you don't worry. For spiritual also, there is rules and regulations. Your rules and regulations, you must follow. So what is our rules and regulations? We have to follow the rules you have promised to the Guru. Right? Vows. Follow the rules regularly, sincerely. That you should follow very carefully. Two. And three, he said, whatever activity if you do, if you don't offer it to me, it is useless. Because I am completely spiritual. Without offering anything to me, your work is useless, Brahma. He said, Lord, I know that. Right? So do devotional service to me. In that way, you will never fall down, Brahma, and then I bless you. You can continue. Now our Brahma is 51 years now. He has not fallen. And our moment comes from our Adi Guru, Brahma, Madhava, Gaudiya, Vaishnava, Sanatana. Our Adi Guru is Brahma, isn't it? So Brahma is not fallen. Because of the fact that he is listening to the instruction of Krishna. Anyone who listens to the instruction of Krishna will never fall down. Why will he fall down? But anyone who listens to the instructions of Maya will fall down. And Maya is your mind. Mind is mind. For all second, for all practical purposes. Right? Okay. Thank you very much for your kind attention. We'll stop here. Any questions, comments, or corrections? Yes, Prabhupada.
Thank you for a very wonderful class. The question is regarding deliverance and using Krishna conscious philosophy. What's the right approach to accost your parents when you are teaching them or when you are introducing them to Krishna consciousness? Because when I did it, it's my personal experience. When I asked my dad to chant, he started chanting. He gave up meeting, everything. But when it comes to asking, I'm not asking them to stop, but they are very still much adamant that I keep it at the temples of demigods, who is now in few days, coming next few days, Ganesh festival is coming, and my dad is like, why don't you visit Ganesh at temple? And he told me last year, and I didn't do that. And I didn't get a tram fine of $223. So he's like, you didn't go to the temple, that's the reason you didn't get a fine. So
is it reason what? Can you repeat the same?
Last year he asked me to do the same, I didn't do that. And I was like, in the same time I didn't get a fine of a tram fine for not touching my mouth.
To go to Lord Ganesh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So it was like, you didn't visit the temple, so you didn't get a fine. And He's still telling me that you need to go to temple, you can't give up anything. So what would be the right approach to convince your parents about, at least about the worship as well as worship to Supreme Personality of Godhead?
This is a very complex question you're asking. You put me in a fix now.
Can you
clarify the question?
Okay, the question is, in short, okay, his parents have just taken up Krishna consciousness and they are still attached to the rituals in India, like worshipping demigods, etc. I'm not going into detail, Ganesh and Krishna, whatever. They are still attached to the demigod worship. Even though they are chanting or they are little bit taken up the process, yet their attachment for the demigod worship is still there, and they don't stop with that. They also little bit pressurize him to also visit some demigods in Melbourne. So he's saying, how should we deal with this kind of situation? Now, first of all, you are here, right? You are here, so you got this knowledge and association, right? So you're fixed to some degree. Everyone has got different levels, right? We are fixed to some degree based on our knowledge and experience. You can hear Mataji. Please correct me if I'm wrong, right? Because Mataji is senior, she can also correct me. Now, what if I go wrong? Because we have to tell the philosophy properly, no? We can't concoct. Because it's a very important question, right? So I try to answer, not that you can correct me. So my question, my answer would be, because you are here, you have got knowledge and association, which is very important. And based on the knowledge and association, you get Krishna Shakti to some level, okay? Which you are dealing with and you are progressing, right? I don't know what kind of knowledge and association your parents have. Do you have enough knowledge and associations? Do they have?
No.
No. Okay. Now, because of that, what's happening, the previous conditioning will be there, okay? They are attached to demigods. Okay. A subdivision from their branch out. Important thing is, we don't disrespect demigods. Please try to understand. It could be Lord Shri Ganesh, Muruga, Shiva. Do not disrespect. They are all important, powerful servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna has employed 33 million demigods. And Ganesh and all the principal demigods. They are not small, okay? They are much higher than us. We have taken up Krishna consciousness just a few years back. Before that, we were rascals, okay? They are the son of Lord Shiva. Very exalted position, right? And demigod, in Vedas, it is said that you have to worship Ganesh to remove your obstacles in spiritual life. Here, Brahma Samhita, Brahma is saying, oh, Ganesh has, you know, asked to resting on the Narasimha Bhagavan, asking for help. Okay? So, according to Vedas, why? Because Vedas is not Krishna conscious. 96% is of sense gratification, Vedas. Only 4% is devotion service. 4%. So most of the people are carried by Vedas. I'm talking about ancient India. Right? And Ganesh says in Vedas, you have to worship. So as Vaishnavas, the question may be asked, do we have to worship the demigods? The answer is no. Why? Next question. Because the Guru represents the sum total of all the demigods. If you worship Guru, you are worshipping all the 33 million demigods. You need not have to go separate and divide, right? He is equivalent. He is more than that actually, a guru. Because a guru is directly showing you the path to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to get fixed in his service. So a guru is more powerful, whereas Ganesha removes only obstacles. He will not guide you towards Krishna. You understand? But unfortunately, that's what I say, your parents do not have this knowledge. If I say this, you know, understand, right? But the same thing, if I have to tell your parents, they may not accept it. Because they don't have that level, because of their conditioning. They're used to certain things, right? Conditioning. It is conditioned. So it takes a while. So, till such time, you don't disrespect Ganesh, nor do you respect your parents. You don't disrespect your parents either. Don't think that, okay, my parents are saying demigods, that means I am very powerful and superior, my parents are inferior. No. You got this body, you got this birth because of the parents. There are three kinds of birth. One is through your parents, you get a material body. The parents give you the material body, father and mother. And the second birth is Guru Janam. The Guru initiates you. Where he becomes your father and the Vedas becomes your mother. This is Guru Janam. And the third birth is Vedic Janam. Right? Through which you can sacrifice and you can do Devi worship. So there are three births for a human being. But people who don't know this, what can you talk to them? Knowledge.
the best thing is, do not respect, do not disrespect any parents. That's not a good approach. Then be very favorable, and favorably, you know, they will come slowly. Krishna consciousness is a process where one will naturally develop attraction for the Lord. Because it's all attractive in nature, right? Anyone, they may be repulsive initially, and then they will take a Krishna consciousness. Because of the attraction, Krishna is the one who attracts of the all attractive nature towards Him. This is the power of Krishna. We are not doing this. So all I would suggest is, be favorable to them. Then they say, okay, I will go. But you worship your Guru, then you have already visited Ganesh temple. Right? Because the Ganesh is inside Guru. Guru is like God, he is not God. He should be treated like God. So then you worship Guru like Krishna, he is already, demigod is there. And Krishna gives all the instructions to Guru to take the disciple back to God. A very powerful personality. And Guru is completely spiritual. Right? Ganesha is doing a material activity for Krishna. He may be spiritual, he may not be, because he is a servant of Krishna. Right? They may have some material desires. But a Guru, my Guru for example, he does not have material desire, he is completely spiritual. He is on par with Krishna, but he is not God, he is like God. Definitely, you know, that is as a measure. At this stage, be considerate with them, but give them more prashadam. Don't argue with parents. Do not argue with them. See, I learned from a mistake. I first time when I went, you know, I was fighting with a thing. My father talked about Vishnu, from Vishnu Sampradaya. I said, you know, Krishna is great. Then I said, what foolish I was. He's no more now. But I was, because we are kids now, we are growing up in Krishna consciousness. But at the time when I was young, new, I was like 1 year old baby Krishna consciousness, right? What could I, you know, I was immature in my behavior. So, you know what I mean? Do not insult them. Do not argue with them. Do not be disrespectful towards your parents first. And then your demigods, okay? Then, if you are kind to them, one day, the role will reverse. And he will become a better devotee than you. Mataji, would you like to add some comments? Haribol, can you? Haribol, give me Mataji.
No, that's okay.
No, some valuable comments, including me.
You embarrass me. your answer is absolutely correct. Do not disrespect your parents. I think maybe the parents are asking you to visit the demigods because they want to make sure you've covered all the bases. Yeah? So, one question that's often asked to my husband when he's speaking at interfaith is, why did you convert? Why did you convert to Hare Krishna? Why did you leave your Christianity behind? And he always answers, I did not convert. I did not reject. If anything, I appreciate Lord Jesus Christ more now because the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is making me understand the teachings of Lord Jesus better. So you can give an answer like that too. It's making me understand better who Ganesh is. It's making me understand better who Kali is, what her role is, who Brahma is, like that. And respect your parents like that. And there's no harm also sometimes accompanying your parents to a temple where all the other demigods are to keep that relationship with your parents tight. There's no harm in that. Even Lord Chaitanya used to go and visit different temples.
He went to Murga temple, which is
Durga Murga,
which is who is the brother of Ganesh.
Yeah. So there's no harm in that. When we came to Krishna consciousness, my spirit master said, Don't stop what you're doing. It can be very dangerous to stop what you're doing. We were meditating with another guru, and he said, don't stop, just add Krishna.
Yeah.
So he was very smart, because he knew when you get the taste of Krishna and Krishna's holy name, all the other stuff just falls away. So that's the main thing to emphasize. Don't stop what you're doing, just add chanting Hare Krishna. Very important that you add chanting Hare Krishna. Everything, keep everything the same, it's okay.
Give the mother your. Give it to her. You know, some comments we say. That's okay.
Actually, we should not think that Ganesha is separate from Krishna. He is engaged in service of Krishna. So, in that way, with proper understanding, if you go to temple and even if you go to Ganesha temple on that day and think that, you know, he is also serving Krishna. In that way, if you do, there is nothing wrong. Like recently, somebody was asking, Nataji, in Krishna consciousness, we don't worship Ganesha, so but my parents, like same thing, no? Telling me to worship, what should we do? Then I said, you do one thing, you offer to Krishna first, then you offer to Ganesha, there is nothing wrong, like, you know, because he is also devotee of Krishna, he is getting Krishna prasad. Like,
he'll be happy.
So with that proper understanding, if you do, there is nothing wrong. Just the equating Krishna and demigods as equal, that is like one of the offenses to the holy name as well. So that is what we have to do with a proper understanding. Like even if you go and see Ganesha on that day, there is nothing wrong. Because you are thinking that he is devotee of Krishna, and in that way, proper understanding, you go and do, there is nothing wrong. Just that we should have proper understanding as well. Initial stage is like that, but in advanced stage, of course, we serve only Krishna. Because in Krishna says in 9th chapter, Avidhi Purvatam, if you worship these demigods. Actually, in 3rd chapter, Krishna is telling you have to worship demigods. In 9th chapter, same Krishna is talking in a higher level. He's telling, you know, you are doing Avidhi Purvatam. In 7th chapter, he's telling that everything that demigods are giving to you is I am giving you. The faith with which you are worshipping, the benedictions you are getting, everything is given by me only. So, I mean, 9th chapter in a more higher level, it's telling you are doing Avidhi Purvatam. Means in a wrong way. Everything you are doing, you are bribing demigods, ultimately I am the one who is giving everything. So, like that. So, different levels of knowledge Krishna is giving in this time. 3rd chapter, he said you worship demigods. In 7th chapter, is telling who is giving all the ingredients so that you are worshipping the demigod, like a faith, everything you are giving. That I am only giving you that. In 9th chapter, is telling that you are doing Avidhi Purvatam, no? Indirectly you are worshipping me. Because everything I am giving, instead of worshipping me, you are indirectly worshipping the demigods. Ultimately, it is to me only. So you better worship me directly. Like
Sorry, but I just need to make a comment on this one. Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, who is a surrendered soul. So everything that Maharaj is saying is correct. However, it may be damaging if you use this philosophy and tell your parents directly that philosophy. Because if they are not willing to hear that yet, like Prabhu was saying, they will not understand it. They will not understand that. So it's better that they come to their own realization of what Krishna is preaching in the Bhagavad Gita. Does that make sense? Yeah, if you start saying to them, you know, when you worship the demigods, actually you're worshiping Krishna only. Therefore, I only worship Krishna. To them, all they can hear is, see, you think you're better than me. So don't come from that level. It's not helping. Let them come to that understanding themselves. You should understand it, but don't use it as a tool to try and get them to let you only worship Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. Just that they are much worried that if I stop worshipping the gods, they would be quite angry on me. And yeah. It's like similar to Go Weapon Dina, where Indra gets agitated and he's not getting any offerings. So that's the same case that's happening with me as well. Like, I got a fine during that time, and they're like, look, they're angry at you, that's the reason you got a fine or something.
So.
That's right. So just go along every now and again, go along to the temple with them. Just make sure that they also chant Hare Krishna. If they're willing to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chandrakant.
The final concluding statement I would say is,
they are your parents, right? You are not their parents. You are a son. Anyway, they are your parents, so listen to them favorably, you know. And then they tell us, that's what I would do if I were you. I would try to listen to them, you know. Just maybe go to Ganesh and to establish, as Mataji said, a relationship. Once you break the relationship, and if the parents think it, if the parents are upset with you, then they will never come to Krishna conscious. Oh, Krishna, I did that to my son like that. You know? It's a tendency there. They don't know the true nature of the Supreme Authority. Like that. So you, it is your duty now to be very careful in your dealings and to bring your parents to Krishna conscious. How you do it? By considering you. And you have to be low. You have to behave like a son, not as their parents. Because sometimes devotees, right? After 1 or 2 years, they think that they are their parents. Which I need from, see? Anyway, okay. Thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. Shaurav Premanand.